Blog Talk Radio.
And a very good Wednesday to you on the FootballDiehards.com podcast. My name is Skip Lacombe, and it's Waiver Wednesday. That means Mike Jones is joining us. Mike, how are you doing?
Well, hanging in there. Some pretty interesting news for this upcoming week, especially some running backs emerging, and it seems like every year, I don't know if it's anybody else, but it seems like every year I've got running backs like Mike Hart or Quentin Ganther or somebody of that ilk that always seems to be leading my team in the fantasy football playoffs. I'm sure I'm not alone in that. So we're going to see what's out there available, and the running backs seem to be always fall by the wayside this time of year.
Yeah, I know you're feeling a little under the weather, too, so thanks so much for joining us on the show today. Lots of stuff going on. This is now a very, very important time for your fantasy team because you're probably in the playoffs right now. So let's go ahead and start off with the quarterback position. What are you seeing out there that's surprising people?
Well, you know, I think what's surprising is that, Jason Campbell doesn't seem to be slowing down for the Redskins, and I think you can attribute some of that to the fact they just don't really have much left at running back. We talked about Quentin Ganther. We talked about him last week that he had a great matchup against the Raiders and that, you can go ahead and get him in there and feel pretty good about it. He's been averaging 6 yards per carry, and obviously we weren't the only ones that noticed that the Redskin offensive staff, coaching staff noticed that also, and they got the Utah, former Utah Ute star in there, and he actually had a great game against the Raiders, a couple touchdowns, about 100 yards, and so with that being said, Jason Campbell also had a nice game against the Raiders, about over 200 yards passing and a couple touchdowns. So it looks like that Campbell is putting together a pretty nice stretch of 3 games here, and this week he gets to face the New York Giants. It's going to be on Monday night, so a big stage for that. It's going to be a divisional game, which usually means a pretty tight matchup. But boy, anybody who thought they were going to see a tight matchup last week between the Eagles and the Giants, that ended up being a huge shootout. And so I maybe we'll see something like that again this week. Obviously, the Redskins aren't exactly having to, play for a playoff spot. So no reason to, play real close to the vest. Kind of let it air it out and, let's see what happens. Devin Thomas is emerging a little bit. Santana Moss always a great weapon. And as long as they can block the Giants' pass rush and get some kind of production out of Ganther, Campbell should have some time to, survey the field and maybe pick out some fantasy points for anybody that is just sick and tired of watching Carson Palmer and his sore elbow or Jay Cutler and all his interceptions that bring down their fantasy team. So could be something there with Jason Campbell. And the other name there that for quarterbacks, and it's Chad Henne with Miami, and another name that's not surprising anybody, but a quarterback that is 7-3 as a starter, so maybe the coaching staff is starting to get more confidence in him. And obviously without Ronnie Brown there, they haven't run the Wildcat formation in 2 games now. And so it's Ricky Williams. Again, he got 30 touches last week, so he uses up quite a bit of the offensive playbook. But even with that being said, Henne is finding his intermediate receivers to great effect. Threw the ball 52 times just a couple weeks ago. And this week facing, going to be at Tennessee. Tennessee pass defense is improving. They're not, as soon as they got Cortland Finnegan back as their, their star cornerback, that the defense did start picking it up. It's still, they give up about 240 yards passing and a couple touchdowns. This last week, they basically had a great week, the Tennessee defense, and facing Keith Null, in his first start as a St. Louis Rams. They had 5 interceptions. I look for Chad Henne to show quite a bit more poise and patience and with a lot more experience in having 2 seasons under his belt than Keith Null had his very first start. And the Miami defense should put up a little bit more of a fight than the Rams defense did against Tennessee. So I expect a great matchup. I think it's going to be one of the best games of the week. 2 teams really fighting tooth and nail to try to get that last playoff spot. And expect Henne to be able to at least, probably get over 200 yards, probably put up a touchdown. He had a 4-game streak of throwing a touchdown this past week. He that streak was broken, but he did have a rushing touchdown, showing great versatility, being able to use his feet to score also. So, and he seems to be really coming to his own, and anybody who's watching him play has to be impressed.
Yeah, Henning's been one of my favorites for most of the season. He's been right in my bench for quite a while. Another quarterback I wanted to ask about is with Bruce Gradkowski unlikely to play. Do you know if it's kind of a toss up between Jamarcus Russell and Charlie Fry at this point, or
not a toss up? They just announced today that that it will be Charlie Fry as a starter. And of course, probably JP Lossman, Las Vegas Loco fame, has a chance to maybe be there too as a third quarterback. But it will be Charlie Fry this week. Not sure what to expect from him. He's never really been able to do too much when called upon, but just run the offense that's in front of him. And even to that, not to great effect. So, if we're looking for someone who is out there that might be on the waiver wire, another name out there is Brady Quinn. I doubt that many people have still really jumped out and gone and picked him up. And the thing about, Brady Quinn for this week, just strictly a matchup play. And when he's had a good matchup, he's done very well. And he has a great matchup this week going to Kansas City, facing a Kansas City team that's allowing about 240 yards passing a game at home. And that number is a little bit skewed because this past week they played Buffalo, and Buffalo just ran the ball, basically 40 times between, Lynch and Jackson. And so Fitzpatrick only threw the ball 20 times, completed 12 for about 84 yards, give or take. And so that was obviously very unfortunate for people that had, either Terrell Owens or Lee Evans going and expecting to face a defense that there was going to be able to get some fantasy production against. So with that being said, the Browns don't have a Marshawn Lynch or a Fred Jackson really to throw out there. We're talking about Jerome Harrison and Chris Jennings and, serviceable possibly, but I think you're going to see a lot of Brady Quinn hopefully throwing the ball. And when he's had the good matchups we talked about, when he faced Detroit, he threw for over 300 yards and four touchdowns. And then 2 weeks later, faced San Diego and threw for 271 yards. Last week of, very, very tough conditions against Pittsburgh, but hey, got to win. And so, he's got to start feeling a little bit more confidence. And with Mike Holmgren, possibly looking up, from up above, as it were, with some offers being thrown out to him in the $8 to $10 million range to run the Browns. That Brady Quinn might want to go out there and kind of show what he can do, and with some good young targets with we've talked about before with Massaquai and Robiskie and the emergence of Evan Moore, who we'll probably talk about a little bit later at tight end. That Brady Quinn should be able to put up some good numbers also against Kansas City.
All right, well, we are moving into the part of the season where some people will possibly be getting fit, too, and we'll certainly have that situation at running back, because you may be able to find a lot out there on your waiver. Why don't you go ahead and run through those for us?
Well, the names that are, kind of emerging, and there's some different scenarios available out there. Some are injuries. Some are just, the coaching staff kind of wants to see what they have in a player. In that case, we find in Houston with Arian Foster. Foster is no mystery to fans of the college football game, a star for the Tennessee Volunteers, and pretty widely known that if he came out after a junior year, he would have been had a second round grade by the NFL Draft Advisory Board, but came back, stayed for his senior year, and unfortunately there was ran into a tremendous amount of turmoil there in Tennessee with a lot of injuries to the offensive line and the quarterback. And so Foster really didn't have the kind of senior year he was hoping for and just tumbled in the NFL draft. But, it's always been a name that has intrigued the Dynasty League participants as someone who, if you ever got the opportunity, could be someone to keep an eye on, especially in an unsettled Houston backfield. And so, as it were, that situation has come to a royal, as it were. It's been become a muddy situation there Ryan Moats had every opportunity to take the feature job, but you know, he fumbled away the chance. And so the coaching staff has come out and said that to Arian Foster, you're going to be the guy. And so Arian Foster gets his chance for the next three games to show what he has. And I think they would love to see him be able to be that kind of 6'1", 225, 230-pound feature back that can, you know, take the 20 to 25, touches a game and let Steve Slayton be what he is probably best suited for, which is really a type of Reggie Bush type of role, which is a playmaker who you can get out on the edge and make plays, outside, on the third downs and specialty plays. And so, and be more of a home run hitter. And so, there it is. Arian Foster gets his chance, and he's obviously, I think, and more or less going to be the number one waiver wire pickup this week, especially in lieu that he's going to be playing against St. Louis. And, Foster had a great, good week this past week and, a blowout of Seattle, caught four passes for 54 yards. So showing great hands there, had 34 yards rushing and in Tennessee, showed he was a great competitor around the goal line. So I would not expect them to take him out when they get in the red zone. So, St. Louis next to last and allowing 158.8 rushing yards a game at home. So Arian Foster, I think across the board, going to be the number one waiver wire pickup this week.
Now, is that going to be more of a matchup play? Can you maybe depend on him going through the rest of the playoffs?
Well, if you can survive this week with Arian Foster, you're probably doing pretty well. But looking forward, going on the road and playing in Miami is going to be a very difficult matchup. And then getting the New England Patriots at home, another very tough matchup. So if you can get Arian Foster and get him in your starting lineup this week and get some fantasy points out of him and survive, which is probably, a semifinal week, then God bless you and let's live and see another day. So
as long as you can live to fight another day, that's just what I was going to say.
No doubt. So but the good news, though, out of Foster is the four catches for 54 yards. And so right there, that's basically double digits in a PPR league. And I think if you can pick up somebody off the waiver wire this time of year for a running back and get you double digits, you're doing pretty good.
All right. Other than Foster, who else are you seeing out there?
The big news is, for as far as injuries go this week, which is, just a horrible injury, absolutely uncalled for, unneeded, which was the Kevin Smith knee injury. They're saying that he won't even be ready probably for week one of the 2010 season. It, blows out his knee in a 42-3 game in the fourth quarter. I understand that you want to show that, you've got the best interests of the competitive nature of your team at heart, but absolutely in bad conditions, there was no reason that, that you didn't have somebody else in there to be playing at that point of the season than your franchise running back. And so, as it were, they didn't have Aaron Brown in there, they didn't have Maurice Morris in there, and Kevin Smith was in there. And, really one of those unfortunate plays where nobody hit him, nobody touched him, and he just got his foot stuck in the turf and turned it and tore up the knee. But so, as it were, opens up the door for possibly Maurice Morris, who's, again, one of those running backs that you should be able to get double-digit numbers for, picking him up off the waiver wire. He has a tough matchup this week against Arizona. But, Arizona has shown that on the road that they are vulnerable. Frank Gore just, tore him up, lit him up this last week for over 160 yards. Obviously, Maurice Morris is no Frank Gore. But the facts are that Arizona allows 4.9 yards per carry on the road. That's obviously one of the worst numbers in the league. So let's hope that Maurice Morris, if you can get him and pick him up, is going to be able to get 20 touches. And he's a career basically 4.3 yard per carry running back, at least he was last year with Seattle. And so if he gets 20 touches, let's hope that he can get 70 yards, catch two to three passes out of the backfield, and who knows, might even be able to sneak in a goal line carry. As obviously there won't be, I wouldn't expect them to use Jerome Felton around the goal line, but it's obviously possible vulture possibility there, but I still think they'll stick with Maurice Morris and use up what they can out of him.
All right, anybody else you wanted to touch on from the running backs?
Sure, and we'll go in. We'll touch on two other players, especially out of Indianapolis, with you'd have to think that at this time of year that they'll be sitting Joseph Addai and getting him fresh for the playoffs. Donald Brown is out, already announced out for this week with a chest injury. And so, you know, it looks like that we may see the all-time leading rusher for the Michigan Wolverines, Mr. Mike Hart, one of the leading all-time rushers in high school football history, all-time leading rusher in, for sure in the state of New Jersey. And so, you know, he's a legend. He's going to be not have the traditional size that you see in an NFL back. But could be one of those guys that gets his opportunity. He kind of, this point of his career, you'd have to kind of consider him possibly a poor man's Ray Rice, both from the same state of New Jersey. And so, you know, if Hart gets the opportunity, it'd probably be Curtis Painter and Mike Hart and throwing the ball to Pierre Garçon and you know, and Austin Colley and gang. And there was, you know, with Tom Santy tied in, so Gijon Robinson is tied in, and so it's going to be, you know, kind of a potpourri of talent there, and you'd have to think that Mike Hart's going to get an opportunity, and if you do have a, you know, a team that plays a Week 17 championship and you can make it that far, you know, Indianapolis has a, you know, matchup against the worst run defense in the league in Buffalo. And we just saw Jamal Charles have a career day himself this past week, over 140 rushing yards. So Mike Hart might have a very good opportunity to put up the kind of week in Week 17 that can win you a fantasy championship. And last name we probably should touch on is Steven Jackson. You know, really we've been talking about him and banging on that they've just been overloading him all year long. We knew that coming down the stretch, you know, how much were they going to play him, you know, on a 1-14, 2-13 team, you know, were they really going to put out Steven Jackson? He's had the herniated disc in his back. You'd have to think that they're going to probably be sitting him out the last couple weeks of the season, especially if he's got any kind of escalators that get him any kind of bonus in his contract. You think that they might want to keep an eye on that. So Kenneth Darby, you would have to think that we'll get the, you know, chance to show what he can do, one of the best rushers in the history of Alabama football. And showing great skills out of the backfield. He's caught 11 passes in the past 3 weeks, had about 5 catches this past week. And so probably be a split between him and Sam Congado in the Rams' backfield. But if you're in a PPR league, you'd have to think that Darby's going to be the guy to get. And so if you're a Steven Jackson owner, you'd have to think that you're going to want to make sure you handcuff Kenneth Darby with him right now.
All right, moving on to the wide receivers, not quite as deep as the running backs, but we got a couple names to tell you about. Who are they?
Well, there's a lot of names out there. I mean, I'm sure you can go ahead and, you know, pick and choose through them, and who knows what you're going to come up with. It seems like, you know, week to week, and, you know, everybody's waiver wire can be different. But a couple of, you know.
Oh, no one's going to elude you, though, Mike. You got them all. No one's going to elude you.
Well, it's just a matter of, you know, listing them all is can be a, you know, bit of a chore, and we try to do that every week to at least touch on somebody different every week. And I know most you know, owners are astute enough to know who the players are that are out on the waiver wire, but the couple of the hotter names, at least especially from this past week, and I'm sure that people want to kind of know what's going on with them. And the first name is Gray Camarillo, is, you know, on a, you know, showing himself right now, especially since they've gone to the pro style offense in Miami, that he's getting a lot of the looks there from Chad Henne. Between him and Devon Best, they've really taken over the roles as a kind of wide receiver 1A and wide receiver 1B, which in reality they're really wide receiver 2A and wide receiver 2B, because there's really no wide receiver 1 there. I think the guy that was supposed to do that was Ted Ginn Jr., and they spent a top 10 pick on him, but he only had one catch for 14 yards last week, and so it doesn't really look like that's going to transpire at any time soon. So Camarillo averaging, you know, 8.5 targets of the past 2 weeks, and that's what you're always trying to find when you're going on the waiver wires. Who's getting opportunities to get fantasy points? I mean, that's all you can really ask. We can't go out there and make the plays for these guys, but what we can do is we can say who to the coaches, who is the quarterback, you know, looking at and giving the opportunities to, and we hope that they catch the ball, you know what I mean? But with that being said, Camarillo is obvious, shown that he has very good hands, suffered the, you know, the knee injury last year, and he's been a little bit slow to come back, kind of been an ebb and slow year for him. It had some up weeks, some down weeks. And so, but as it were, lately he's been coming on strong and had one of the best days of his career last week with seven catches on seven targets. And so for over 100 yards, as a little type, over 110 yards. And so you have to think that Camarillo the week before had five catches for 71 yards. And so he's a receiver that Henny's showing a lot of confidence in. He's a mid-range receiver. So he's going to get the PPR points. And again, we talked about it before with Henny. He's facing a Tennessee team and is second worst in the league in allowing 14.6 receptions to the wide receiver position per game, and they are last in allowing 178.6 yards per game to the position. So we'd have to think that, though, let's split that basically in two, more or less, and say that Camarillo should have about 7.3 receptions this next week and about 80-some-on yards. So Camarillo looks to be a decent play if you're really hurting for a wide receiver three on your team. And then Devin Aramashadu is a former wide receiver for Auburn, big-time big play receiver for the Tigers there, and always showed kind of good speed, good hands, good size, a little bit inconsistent in really what was more of a run-first offense with Auburn, but bounced around. He was a seventh-round pick out of college, and bounced around, but, the Colts thought enough of him to bring him on board, and he showed us enough, at least on special teams, they kept him on the active roster. He got a Super Bowl ring the year the Colts won the Super Bowl, and so he kind of bounced around with the Texans and so on and so forth, and landed in Chicago, and had a great preseason, showed a lot of chemistry with Jay Cutler, and Jay Cutler has, kind of gone out on a limb, since basically, preseason, saying, hey, this is a guy we need to have on the active roster, and it's taken this long, basically, to get to Aramashadu, to get him up onto the active roster and get him playing, and the injury to Devin Hester opened it up for him, and Cutler obviously he has a stake in how he does and, target him 12 times this past week. And I think the most impressive thing that you have to say about him is that also targeted him in a red zone play when Charles Woodson was guarding him one-on-one, and Aramashadu came through with a touchdown catch. Very beautiful, nice pass to the back shoulder that he made a great adjustment, and Woodson was really kind of caught flat-footed on the play. And so this week they're playing at Baltimore. It's going to be a very tough matchup, you have to imagine. But, in lieu of the fierce pass rush they should be facing, even though they don't have Terrell Suggs and Ed Reed has, got injury issues, you'd have to think that they're going to use a guy who's, 6'2", 210 as a player that he can use as a security blanket along with Todd Heap and get him the ball and continue to show the confidence he did in him last week. And, you should be able to get the kind of numbers he got out of this past week.
To another wide receiver we've been hearing a lot about this week, wanted to ask you about, is that Brandon Marshall kid. What about him?
He's a troublemaker, really bad
no
in the
good.
Locker room.
Just a punk.
Yeah.
We want to give a big congratulations out to him, the new NFL record with 21 receptions in a game, which is just freakish when I heard that.
Well, you fall behind 21-0 to the Indianapolis Colts, and the running game kind of goes by the wayside, by the middle of the start, basically the start of the second quarter. It wasn't until Denver kind of figured out some things, and was able to stop the Colts offense finally, and ended up after Manning threw three touchdowns against them, they held Manning for 6 of 22 for and three interceptions. Until they, Manning kind of got the ship righted at the very end when Denver pulled within a score and drove him down the field and hit Clark for Dallas Clark's third mm-hmm. touchdown of the game. But as it were, in between all that and all that comeback, yeah, the one thing that if you look at the statistics, which are, really very interesting, is that the Colts, and we see this in the touch and target report that I usually do every week, that the Colts are at the bottom in receptions allowed to the wide receiver position, near the bottom, in receiving yards to the wide receiver position. But the ironic thing about them is they are next to the best to the Jets in wide receiver touchdowns allowed. They've only allowed 4 touchdowns to the position all year long. So it was kind of you had to really kind of weigh those two dichotomies in whether you wanted to, throw, if you're doing any kind of ranking Marshall in your top 5 or whatever. And as it turned out, he scored 2 touchdowns. And, the Colts have had a lot of injuries to their secondary, as showed when Randy Moss lit them up a couple weeks ago. So I guess you can start your wide receivers, especially your star wide receivers, especially your big wide receivers who can make plays down the field against the Colts secondary.
All right, to moving on to the tight ends, we talked a little bit about Evan Moore earlier. Let's go into some more detail with him.
Well, sure, we talked about him last week, and I just like him. I'm a huge Stanford fan, as it is, and so I remember Evan Moore having this great potential as a, basically a 6'6", 6'7", kind of freak of nature wide receiver for the Cardinal there, and had a huge sophomore year there, led the team in the touchdown score, and then just kind of was injury-riddled his junior and senior years, unfortunately. But a player with a basketball background, so a lot of talent, great footwork, knows how to box out, has great hands, just like the Antonio Gate kind of type of wider, tight end that you come across. And so had a great first week when he got the starting position, 6 catches for 80 yards. This past week in, really bad weather against Pittsburgh on a, cold, dreary Thursday night, had some opportunities down the field, just barely missed on a couple of them. Still made one great one-handed catch, and so he was targeted 6 times, which was the tops on the team. So Quinn has a lot of confidence in him. He is using him, to kind of fight off against the pass rushes in lieu of really having much of a running game. And so I like him again this week, where he faces Kansas City. Again, we talked about this before, and Kansas City is ranked 25th in the league against a tight end, and I think Evan Moore has a chance having another big week this week.
All right, finally, do you want to touch on the place kickers, defense, and IDP?
Sure, just to wrap up with all this, Lindo Mari is one of the highest kickers out there. Has a streak, a team record, 18 field goals in a row. Is excellent from the 40 to 49 range. And this is where we, especially for leagues that give bonuses for the kicks in the 40 to 49 range, that the Buccaneers are last in the league and allowing 10 field goals in that range. And so Mari kicking at home in Seattle, Tampa Bay going cross-country, should be a very tough matchup for the Buccaneers traveling across the time zones. And Seattle should be able to move the ball, probably just move it just good enough to get it into field goal range. I'll look for Mari to have 3 or 4 field goals this week. And as far as the defense to go pick up this week, anytime it looks like you can face the St. Louis Rams is a pretty good deal. They've given up defensive touchdowns a couple games in a row now, and you don't know if you're going to get Kyle Bowler or if you're going to get Keith Null. Either way, it's a great matchup for the Houston secondary, and Null, threw 5 interceptions last week, and so you got to like what Houston can bring to the table this week. And as far as IDP, I think teams just really can't go anywhere near Charles Woodson too much anymore. Pittsburgh seems to throw the ball basically every down. It's just mind-boggling, to say the least. They're in a must-win situation. I think Green Bay is going to be able to move the ball against them. I think Pittsburgh is going to have to throw the ball to keep up. And so they're going to definitely target Tremont Williams, who is replacing Al Harris across from Charles Woodson. And, Woodson, Williams gives up plenty of receptions, a fairly sure tackler, and unfortunately also gets plenty of PI, pass interferences, but he's definitely going to be picked on, and he's averaging, 6 tackles a game the past 3 weeks, interceptions 2 to 3 past weeks. So if you need someone in your secondary, in your IDP league, that you can pretty much count on that's going to get about 6 tackles and it could have an opportunity for an interception, Tremont Williams in Green Bay is your guy.
All right. Well, be sure to check you guys' lineups because we do have games going on tomorrow as the Jags will host the Colts. So be sure and check that. Plus, me and Bob will be back on Friday with a regular Friday edition of the podcast. We'll let you go know through all the injuries. The flash update is back up and live, so be sure to keep refreshing that as we go into tomorrow's games and keep you up on the injuries and news of that. Until then, anything else you want to hit on?
Go ahead. One thing, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, one last thing we want. Might make sure everybody sends out their prayers to Chris Henry, the wide receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm sure you've heard the news that he was a horrible accident today, fell out of the back of a pickup truck, and is on life support right now. And unfortunately, his situation is being described as dire. And so,
His injuries are very serious, and all of us at Football Diehards have our thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family. So please do the same, and hopefully he'll be able to make a full recovery.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Skip. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. We'll be back on Friday with the FootballDiehards.com podcast.